Welcome to the midday. I'm Norman, and Stephanie is unusually close. Well, let me rephrase that. You're not
a
microphone away.
That sounds a little
odd. Because we have guests today, and we're in the Buck studio.
Good afternoon, Norman, and good afternoon to our guests. We have Eleanor Bartsch in the studio. She's a violinist who began studying at the age of 4 in St. Paul, Minnesota. Currently a sophomore at the University of Wisconsin School of Music, studying with David Perry. She's an active musician in the Madison area, plays with the Perlman Piano Trio, the Madison Bach Musicians, the Wisconsin Baroque Ensemble, and frequently performs with the UW Contemporary Chamber Ensemble. And this year is her first season as a member of the violin section of the Madison Symphony.
Welcome,
Eleanor.
Thank you.
Who else?
And we also have Stanislava Warszawski. She's a pianist. We'll be calling her Stasi.
And it'll make the program a lot shorter.
She's a doctoral student in piano at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and she's studying with Martha Fisher. She performs with the award-winning Warszawski-Shapiro piano duo, was born in the Ukraine, lived in Israel for 11 years, and this is her first year in Wisconsin. Welcome, Stasi.
Thank you very much.
Well, Eleanor, you know, as a violinist, you about have to team up with somebody. Now, Stasi, she's a pianist. She can play solo. She can play any number of combinations of instruments, but as a violinist, unless you're going to play nothing but Bach partitas and maybe Paganini caprices, you're kind of stuck with a partner, aren't you?
Well, that's true. There's a lot of really great solo literature, though, for the violin. Some of my favorite literature is for solo violin, but I get a lot of opportunities to play chamber music as well. There, the sonata literature is really great.
Your chamber playing ranges from really early Baroque stuff to contemporary, and you're so young. Do you have a feel of where you're going to end up, or do you really enjoy that variety?
Not at all. The variety is what I love. I don't like to do the same thing every day, and it's really fun to explore at this point in my life every part of the musical literature, and sometimes it gets a little difficult switching back and forth.
Do you have a favorite context at this point? Be honest now. I mean, would you rather play with a pianist or in a symphony or in a string quartet if you had the choice every day?
I think my greatest love is chamber music. I love playing with my piano trio and my string quartet and collaborating with Stasi as well and with pianists. And it's really fun to be able to share with other musicians. And there's something to be said about playing by yourself, but we play to share with each other.
That sense of ensemble, of playing with other musicians, mm-hmm. of a nice high caliber is really very gratifying and exciting.
Yeah, I learn so much, too, with whoever I'm playing with.
You mentioned you played on gut strings in a concert a few weeks ago. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I do a fair amount of playing Baroque music on period instruments. So I have a separate violin that I use that the setup is a little different, and it's strung with gut strings. This is what would have been used in the Baroque era. I did some concerts with forte pianist Trevor Stevenson at the in the fall. We did some Mozart sonatas, and that was really a great time.
So what about those gut strings? They come from sheep usually, don't
sheep,
they?
Sheep, yeah.
Not the proverbial cat. And what makes it different playing on gut than playing on the synthetics?
The gut, what you notice right away is that it's a little quieter. These metal strings are made to project through an entire orchestra or with a huge, 9-foot grand piano as we have here, and the gut strings are made for a more intimate setting. They have a more speech-like quality as well. I tend to think of the modern strings as being more vocal. The gut more sounds like talking.
Well, that's a fascinating distinction. Are they at all more temperamental in terms of?
Absolutely. You'll see if you go to a Baroque concert in the area, there'll be much more tuning of the strings. They react more to the weather, and I do have to change them more often. I order them all the way from Duluth, so.
They have sheep up that way.
I think they do, yeah.
Now, what about the violin itself? Are some more compatible with gut strings than others?
Not that I know of. I assume that The violin I'm playing now, my modern violin, was made in the year 1820. So,
that's modern.
Yeah. So my Baroque violin is from 1750. But steel strings only began to be used in this in the 20th century. So I assume all violins, you know, were strung with gut up until, you know, Brahms never heard anything but gut strings in his symphonies. And
so speaking of Brahms, you're going to be playing Brahms on gut strings?
No.
The truth will out.
Yeah.
And he was born a little bit after that, I guess, wasn't he?
So what Brahms will you be playing?
This is the first sonata for violin and piano in G major, opus 78. And we'll be playing the first movement.
What's it called, by the way?
Oh, it's Vivace, ma non troppo.
Fast, but not too fast.
Mm-hmm. And this sonata has the nickname of the Rain Sonata.
Yeah, that nickname is given mostly because of the last movement. There's a figure in the piano that goes throughout that sounds like falling rain.
So
this
here we
is,
go.
This is Eleanor Bartsch and Stassi Warshawski.
For the first movement of the Brahms. Thank you. which point a lot of applause comes in. Well, wonderful. First movement of the Brahms Violin Sonata in G.
That was a performance by our guests, Eleanor Bartsch, violin, and Stasi Warshawski, piano. That's a beautiful, tender melody, but very powerful. Mm-hmm. And that piano part, Stasi, that's pretty challenging.
This is where I ask, I'm taking a survey, Stasi, what do you think of our Mason and Hamlin piano here? Do you like the piano okay?
Yeah, I like it very much, yeah.
It seems it's very well suited for Brahms.
Yeah. Yeah.
It gets mixed reviews from various performers, but it sure sounded great there.
Yeah, I think so.
Keeping up with all those page turns, too, it's funny that after 400 years of music making of this kind, that there's still falling back on the old page turn. There's no getting around that, is there?
It's always a heavy issue, pianists.
Certainly a well-executed piece. Once you two, and you've played together a fair amount, once you get into a piece, what kind of communication do you need, if any? Is it all in the music, or is there a little bit of eye contact going back and forth?
All of it together. We need to see each other. We need to feel each other. We need to play many times. We need to rehearse. So everything comes together.
It's about half and half. We'll talk about things that we might want to do in the performance and rehearsal, and then half is spontaneous, and if I can catch her eye, and even if in the way I play a particular passage, we can try and feel if each other are feeling it the same way.
Stasi, you play in a piano duo. Do you set up the pianos looking at each other, and do you practice that way?
We don't need to look at each other so often. Some very, very few times. When we sit together, when we play four hands, obviously we don't need it. We just feel each other. And after many years which we spend together, we don't need to see.
You and your partner have been performing together for many years.
Diana,
it's quite an award-winning duo. And I believe you have a performance this evening. Is that correct?
Yeah, we have recital in Watertown today at 7.
Watertown at Maranatha College, is that right?
Right.
At 7 o'clock, and that's the Warshawski Shapiro piano duo. What will you be performing tonight?
We will play Stravinsky, pieces of Stravinsky, and Liszt, and Dräger, Ravel, Debussy. It's kind of mix of program for four hands and two pianos.
Wonderful.
That sounds like that's going to keep everybody very busy, even the audience with a lot of applause.
I hope so.
We're live in the studio with violinist Eleanor Bartsch and her accompanist, pianist Stasi Warshawski. We're going to head back in time from the late 19th century to the early 18th century for some solo music of Johann Sebastian Bach. Eleanor, can you tell us what you'll be performing next?
Well, this will be the Gavotte and Rondo from the Partita No. 3 in E major by Johann Sebastian Bach for solo violin.
Thank you.
one violin there, but at times it sounded like two. Bach likes to do that, doesn't he?
He creates duets
for one instrument.
Yeah, sometimes in some of his solo violin music, there are as many as three and four voices going on at the same time. It's part of the challenge is to try and make them different.
Well, lovely, the Gavotte en Rondo from the Partita number 3 in E major of Johann Sebastian Bach. Eleanor, you perform with the Madison Bach Musicians.
That's right.
Right? And I believe you have a performance of the St. Matthew Passion coming up next month.
Yeah.
April 10th and 11th.
Yeah, sometimes I don't even know my schedule. But, yeah, we'll be performing the entire St. Matthew's Passion on period instruments, so all the strings will be on gut, and there'll be some great soloists, and it's a fabulous, fabulous piece.
And an ensemble the size of that which Bach might well have used for such a work.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I believe that's Good Friday weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
an appropriate time for the St. Matthew
right.
Passion.
Friday and Saturday, right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, we heard from two of the three Bs, Brahms and Bach. And next on the program is some music of Beethoven. Have you performed this one in public before?
Yeah, I performed this on my recital in February. The two of us performed it. It is originally for violin and orchestra. So this is a reduction of the score.
It's a romance, but it's, again, that's the sort of thing that would have been done a lot in Beethoven's time. It would be the practical transcriptions, so that if you didn't happen to have an orchestra at home, you could nonetheless buy the music, and you and a pianist, for example, could perform this work. And it was a very common practice, well, going back even as early as Bach, and Vivaldi did the same kind of thing. Now, the violin sonatas of Beethoven are sometimes said to be, well, they're really piano sonatas with a violin there. You know, that argues back and forth. Is it really a violin sonata or a piano sonata? How about this arrangement for this romance?
This is definitely has more emphasis on the violin. Unlike the Brahms is definitely a duet. This is more of a violin piece.
What does he mean by romance, by the way?
Oh, it's just, it's a one-movement work, and...
it's a beautiful lyrical piece.
It's very lyrical.
Well, that's probably enough to go on there as far as interpreting the title of it. Shall we hear the romance?
Yes.
This is the Romance in F from 1798 of Beethoven. Thank you.
The Romance in F by Beethoven with our guests today, Eleanor Bartsch and Stasi Warshawski. Very expressive, sure enough, as you'd expect.
A lot of different expressions, too.
I was going to say, what are the technical challenges as a violinist in that?
It's hard to go from loud to soft on any instrument, I think, and in the voice quickly. And in this piece, there are a lot of very long statements, and I think it's hard to keep engaged during those statements and try and keep the phrase really long and try and keep it that vast feeling that Beethoven gets so often.
See the big picture.
See the big picture, because there's a lot of little notes.
So many notes.
I'm sort of diddling around a lot of the time and, you know, doing that violin thing and showing off a little bit. But
yeah, it was beautifully lyrical, but also quite dramatic with lots of leaps and arpeggios. And yeah.
Absolutely. I like to think maybe he wrote these to get ready for writing the big concerto, the violin concerto.
The one and only Beethoven violin concerto, full-fledged.
Yeah, maybe he was exploring a little bit the possibilities of the instrument.
Well, he certainly explored a lot of them there. Now, you started playing the violin at the age of 4. Why?
My mother is a Suzuki violin teacher.
That would explain it.
My father is a pianist as well. So when I was 4, it was sort of just what you did in my house. And I had a tiny 16th size violin.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. And what did you think of it? Did you take to it right away, or did they have to cajole you into practicing?
You know, honestly, I don't remember too much about it, but I remember liking it when I started right away, because I started on a box, and it was wrapped in contact paper to look like wood, but inside the contact paper was a box of fruit roll-ups. And if I practiced holding the box, like the violin, you know, a certain number of days, and I wasn't allowed to eat those. So my mom let me eat the box if I practiced.
Got to eat your violin.
Incentive there.
That's a different kind of reward.
Yeah, and my teacher when I was little, Ellen Kim, I studied with her for 10 years. So
You've been at it for, let's see, that would be about 16 years now, something like that. Do you get nervous at all before a performance?
Sometimes, yeah. It depends on the performance. You know, usually I'm pretty easygoing about it, and it depends on my mood, too, and how much time I've had to practice.
What do you do with those nerves when you have them?
I think I just try and think about the music more than anything. Like when I'm playing Beethoven, I try and think about Beethoven and try and think about sharing the music, and that makes it go away. So,
you grew up in Minneapolis. What brought you to Wisconsin?
I studied with David Perry here, and that was a huge draw to come to school here. And I really enjoy studying with him. I learned so much. He's a fabulous player and teacher.
You'll have a recital, I imagine, this spring.
I actually had one in February, my recital, but next year. I do have a recital, though, with my piano trio on the 25th of April, the Perlman Piano Trio, and we'll be doing some Mendelssohn, some Schubert, and also some Beethoven.
Oh, very romantic sounding.
Yes.
Is the Perlman Piano Trio made up of you and a couple of other students?
It's an undergraduate piano trio, and we're a scholarship program. We get a scholarship to be in the trio. We were and to give a recital. So,
and that's coming up April 25th.
April 25th
on campus at the University of Wisconsin.
On campus in Morphy Hall. It's a Saturday afternoon, actually, but there'll be information.
Between being a full-time student, a sophomore, and performing in all these ensembles, how do you find time? You must be practicing constantly.
I love to play. That's what I love to do, and I get to play all the time. So, some weeks I practice more than others. I have to be very efficient at practicing, because especially with the symphony, there's a lot of music to be learned. And
Speaking of which, there's a performance this weekend with Madison Opera and the Madison Symphony Orchestra.
Mozart's Così fan tutte is this weekend. Tonight is the first performance at 8 o'clock, so.
You enjoy playing in that kind of context, too, where you're just kind of, I won't say just another violinist, but you're among several good violinists, great violinists?
Absolutely. There's something very powerful about sitting right in the middle of a big symphony and being part of that mass. And it's such great music. And I also love playing opera, too. That's one of my favorite things.
It's wonderfully dramatic music, and there are a lot of little ensemble pieces in that, for almost chamber ensembles within the orchestra.
Yeah, this particular opera, there are a lot of really great duets and quartets and trios that are very beautiful. And the orchestra is reduced quite a bit, so it's actually a more chamber-sounding
More of a Mozart-size
group,
size
more
orchestra.
More of a Mozart-size orchestra. Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's so many variables there in terms of the configuration and number of players when you get into operas and symphonies that you're playing in their sort of original setting. Do you teach at all?
I don't. I don't have time. In high school, I taught some, but now I mostly just perform. And
from a, let's say a selfish standpoint, what other than money, I suppose, what do you get out of teaching?
Oh, I love teaching, and I wish I could do it more, but I love seeing kids improve and trying sort of the problem-solving aspect of it, trying to figure out ways to help them that they will relate to, and also just sharing the music with them.
Now, as you grow, let's say a lifelong student, what would be the next bar for you, the next challenge that you say, well, I couldn't have done this before, but I can do it now? What would be that next piece?
Oh, piece that I play. I'd love to learn the violin concerto of Beethoven after playing these pieces.
Well, we'll come to hear it. Let us know.
Yeah, that's the piece, I think.
Now, do you play in the UW Orchestra?
Mm-hmm. I play in the Chamber Orchestra. We had a concert last night, actually.
And will you two be playing together in the concerto competition performance that's coming up?
No, actually, Stassi and her piano duo partner, Diana, will be playing.
Yeah, we won a concerto competition, and we will play on March 27th. We will play with the orchestra, but unfortunately, Eleanor plays in different orchestra.
I'll be listening.
You know, somebody who started very young as a violinist was Fritz Kreisler. Mm-hmm. And he actually studied with Bruckner when he was seven or eight years old. So he was in a class, and they studied, I'm not sure exactly what, but some aspect of music. And of course, he went on to make quite a name for himself, not just as a great violinist, but also quite the commercial success.
And quite a composer. He composed in so many different styles.
Yes, he actually is pretty famous for writing pieces to play for audiences. He was a soloist, but putting other composers, sometimes very obscure composers, putting their names on the pieces. And so now when you buy the editions, you'll see a piece, and then they'll say, in the style of Pugnani, because he was trying to emulate that, but it's still, you hear Kreisler.
Let's see, which Kreisler do you have for us today to go
we
out
with? We have the Liebeslied.
Love, Sorrow?
Love's Sorrow, yes.
Thank you. Christ, they're always charming there. Leave a slide.
Love's Sorrow. That was a performance by Eleanor Bartsch, our violinist today, and Stanislav Warshawski, the pianist. These are two students at the University of Wisconsin School of Music. Stassi is getting her PhD, studying with Martha Fisher, and Eleanor is still a sophomore at age 19, studying with David Perry. I think we'll be hearing more from these young ladies, Norman.
You mean right now?
Well, in the future.
No such luck, alas. Not today, but yes, I'm sure you will. I mean, given the performance schedule that we've already heard so far, just during this hour of the midday.
That's right. And you can find out more information. There is a website, www.piano-4-hands.com, for the Warshawski-Shapiro piano duo. And our webmaster said that Eleanor Bartsch, B-A-R-T-S-C-H, is one of the most socially networked of our interviewees
on
the midday. So if you Google that name, you'll find her links to Facebook and all kinds of other information about Eleanor.
Well, that's all part of being a performer today, isn't it? You have to do all of that sort of online networking.
Absolutely.
Sure. But it's a very great opportunity for people to, in some cases, even hear a little bit of your performances and certainly get to know you a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
And we certainly thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having us.
You'll have to hurry back and perform for us again. It's been a real treat.